There is a misconception that is very common and unfortunately finds its way into the reasoning of some Christians. And it has to do with what causes people to sin. And so we are brought to the question of, do our surroundings control us, or do we control our surroundings? Or are various elements we find our environments, I'm sorry, that we find ourselves in, the cause of sin? And is there anything that we can do while living in this wicked world? In other words, what else, where we go? This afternoon, I'd like for us to study some examples in scriptures and to try to determine whether or not situations that we are in have anything to do with our faithfulness to God or our sinfulness against God. I think a question that would be in order here is this. Is a good environment the cause of faithfulness? Excuse me. I think we need to think about this situation in light of a good home. Does a good home cause there to be faithful children? Well, in Luke chapter 15, we read here about the one whom we call the prodigal son. And he had a loving and a devoted father. He had wealth. He had servants. Virtually had everything he wanted at his disposal. But whenever he returned home, we're told in Luke chapter 15, verse 22, that his father said to the servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." I believe this is indicative that this son lived under some of the best circumstances, really. But with this good home, this good environment, it did not stop him from wanting to sin and becoming unfaithful before God. We look at Luke 15, verses 11 through 13. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me my portion that befalls me." And so the father divided them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Of course, this account causes us to ask the question, are riches the answer to the cause of sin? Well, we're going to deal with that a little bit further in this lesson, but I want to observe here that this man had every advantage. His father was well off, yet he went outside the home and went out and committed sin, wasted everything that he had been given. Solomon, now there's an example. Solomon had a magnificent environment. He had wisdom granted to him by God. He had power. In fact, he was the richest of all men in his time. According to what I was able to calculate, he took in roughly $850,000 worth of gold a day in tribute. Think about that. That's roughly figured on today's value. Okay? In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 14, the weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. With all of this wealth that God blessed him and the riches which he possessed, it didn't make him a faithful man to God, unfortunately. In 1 Kings 11, verses 4 through 10, listen to it. It was so that when Solomon was old, we all are aware of this, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after the Ashtaroth and the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him, concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Had every advantage, great environment, had a father who set a good example for him. Even though his father sinned, he was a humble man who repented. But look what Solomon did. With all that God had blessed him, look what he did. I think that we would have to say that this individual was not guaranteed to have a sin-free or an acceptable life, I should say, before God, just because of his environment. But you know, something that I thought about is the Garden of Eden. Now think about this. In the Garden of Eden, this probably was the best situation that you can ever imagine. The best situation. The perfect surroundings. Where men could keep from sinning and remain faithful and in direct communication with God. That's how they had it in the garden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, in the Garden of Eden was everything necessary for life. The most beautiful place ever on the face of the earth. But, as we learn, even in the Garden of Eden, man was not guaranteed that he would never sin, for indeed he did. And as we can see from those few examples of so-called good environments, we see that a good environment alone is not the solution to sin. Even under the best conditions, men have sinned. Men have sinned. If one is foolish, even the best surroundings can't keep them from sinning. Temptation, sin, both of them arise whenever a person becomes dissatisfied and allows their desires to run rampant and lets them go the way they want to go. In Proverbs, and these are words of wisdom to consider here, Proverbs 30 and verse 15, the leech has two daughters. Give and give. Now this is a lesson here. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, and four never say enough. It just gets worser and worser and worser. And that's how it is whenever we allow ourselves to go rampant, running wild. The words of wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. And this, of course, is to set our mind straight that God does not cause man to sin. Some of you are old enough to remember a phrase that became very popular. The devil made me do it. I see some smiles. You know what I'm talking about. The devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. And James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now listen to it. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, there can be no doubt that a good environment does help to create better people. No doubt about that. But it is not a solution to sin. It is not the solution to sin. Well, then you say, well, if that's the case, then can we say that a bad environment is the cause of sin? We need to understand that while bad environments and adverse conditions definitely have an influence on us, they cannot control our actions. They cannot control our actions. A person's poor circumstances do not make him sin against God. We can see some examples of this in the scriptures. Those who were under extremely adverse conditions, but with wisdom they remained faithful to God. One example is the environment of slavery. 17 years old. Can you imagine that? 17 years old. Joseph faced strife and jealousy and hatred from his own brothers. And we see that he was taken by slave traders into Egypt, sold as a slave. But what happened with Joseph? He was in a bad circumstance. Things weren't good for him. But did that mean his ultimate demise? No. No. He maintained his integrity. He maintained his faith in God. And consequently, he became ruler over all of Egypt, next down from Pharaoh himself. Wow. And then look at what it resulted in. All of the people who were saved from the great famine that was prophesied, because he prophesied it, and Pharaoh realized that it was coming and set about to make provision for it. Wow. All of these things. But you know, the whole story about his brothers and everything, the way they treated him and mistreated him, it puts a pretty bad situation around this poor fellow. But being in slavery didn't stop him. It didn't stop him. Being falsely accused of rape, think of that one, didn't stop him. Mm-mm-mm. Fact is, he was falsely accused and then imprisoned for 7 years for something he didn't even do. But that didn't stop him. Under all these circumstances, Joseph remained faithful to God. Now, which one of us can say that our circumstances even come close to comparing with him? Not a bit. Not a bit. Job raises the question. Losing it all, being in adverse conditions, is that sufficient to cause us to sin? Well, I'm speaking to people who all know about Job. And you all know what Job had to go through. Everything a man could want. Riches, big family, being well respected in the community, having wisdom and good health. He lost it all. Even his health lost it all. But in Job chapters 1 and 2, as we read about this, the amazing fact is that Job 1:22 says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And verse 10, he said to his wife, You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, which of us have had to bear up under that kind of treatment? Nobody. There's not a person here who's had to go through that. Not one. Now, suppose that we were to be stoned and beaten. Would that be enough to cause us to want to sin against God? To deny God? Well, Paul was. Stoned, beaten, imprisoned many, many times. Back in Acts 14:19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came. Having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, and supposed he was dead. Don't think that's happened to any of us, has it? Not a bit. 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about those who were impersonators, who were false teachers, even false apostles. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, stripes above measure, prisons more frequently, deaths often from the Jews. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils amongst false brethren. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Yet, In all of this, Paul was not moved to sin, nor was he moved to fall away from his commitment to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How about that? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and down at verse 12, Paul wrote to Timothy, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Paul did not allow circumstances to influence him to sin, no matter what it was. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. He talks about here knowing how to be content with what he had. I can do all things, he says, through Christ who strengthens me. Paul could not control all of the situations he found himself in. Now, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul was endowed with miraculous gifts. Paul could strike a man blind on the spot. But that didn't mean that he didn't have a lot of adverse circumstances. And Paul remained faithful to God. None of them could possibly move him to sin against his God. I often, when I think about this, I think about Christians who are found trying to justify their sins by saying, well, I just couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. What do you think about that excuse? Oh, it was just, the circumstances were such that I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Even if it meant getting away from those circumstances, you could have helped it. The fact of the matter is, you chose not to, but rather you chose to become a participant in sin. Are bad conditions the cause of sin? Well, I don't think we can say they are, really. These people we've looked at labored under tremendous adversity, and all remained faithful to the Lord. And what does that teach us? We need to do the same thing today. We don't have adversity that even comes close to what they went through. The fact is, when we read Revelation 2 and 10 here, these people literally were facing the possibility of death. Not only imprisonment, but death. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is the same Lord who said in verse 13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Boy, the people around them were being killed. But they didn't deny the faith. They remained faithful. Now, what is it then, if it's not environment, what is it that makes the difference? What is it? Think about that for a minute. I believe that the answer to this is not that complicated if you think about it. I believe it is the attitude of the heart that makes the difference. Not the circumstances, not the situations that we get ourselves into. It is the attitude of the heart. If you will think about it, the controlling factor in each one of our examples that we have considered was not the outward circumstances, but the inward state of mind. How could Job sit there with sores all over his body, sackcloth and ashes, and say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord? How could he do that? It was the inward state of mind. What do we conclude? Situations do not make us sin, but the wrong attitude will cause us to sin no matter what the circumstances. Absolutely. Now, I got more time than I thought I was going to have when I got to this point. So good, I don't have to hurry. Let's look together at some situations, or attitudes, I'm sorry, that will affect our behavior. For the good or the bad, either one. One of them, and this is one that's found too often, I'm afraid, is a rebellious attitude. This attitude is the attitude of those who are defiant. Those who will sin whatever environment they're in, doesn't matter. The prodigal son was like that. The Jewish people in the time of Jesus were like this. And unfortunately, some Christians today are like this. In Jeremiah 5 and 23, what do we learn? This people has a defiant and rebellious heart. That's what God says about them. They have revolted and departed. They're not God's anymore. They don't belong to Him. But on the other side, there is the obedient attitude. The very opposite of rebelliousness. With this attitude, we can rise above whatever the situation is and be obedient to our Lord no matter what. In Romans 6 and verse 17, Paul reminded the brethren over there in Rome, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that's what they used to be, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What kind of attitude did they have? Obedient. An obedient attitude. You see how this works no matter what the situation is. No matter how bad the circumstances are. If your prime goal is to do what God wants you to do, the circumstances won't have any adverse effects on you. They may inconvenience you a bit, but they won't have any adverse effects on your relationship with God. But not only an obedient attitude, but what about a steadfast attitude? Those who have the steadfast attitude do not allow circumstances to control them. Why? Because they are steadfast in their purpose and in their desire. Steadfast. The 57th Psalm. And I'm sorry, I put the button there too quick. 57th Psalm in verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God, and my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. This is something that God approves of. And notice the psalmist put it quite bluntly there. My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. And thus I will sing and give praise. One who is steadfast is one who cannot be moved. One who cannot be moved. That made me think of one of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Now, not just steadfast, but listen to what he says. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Steadfast. Immovable. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. That's the kind of attitude. But, you know, along with this, we need to have a trusting attitude. A trusting attitude. In the third proverb, in verse 5, the wise man wrote, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You get that? Don't lean on what it looks like. I think, it seems to me, I don't know why not. You trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. In the 27th Psalm, verses 1 through 14, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I've heard this somewhere before. I thought of this when you were reading. I said, I've seen this somewhere before. Whom shall I fear? The trusting attitude. The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because I put my trust in the Lord. That's why. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Because I put my trust in the Lord. That's fine. As long as our trust is where it belongs, we have no reason to fear. No matter what the circumstances may be. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret places of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around. This, of course, is a very succinct expression of the kind of trust that we should all emulate in God. This is what David had. And this is what every one of us need, without a question, without a doubt. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, we're assured that we won't have to worry about things. Now, I'm talking about circumstances or situations arising that we just can't deal with. And that's why I say, anytime someone tells you, I could not resist, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Because the Holy Spirit says they could have, but they chose not to. Read it carefully. With every temptation, he will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And you know what? You can trust that. If you honestly, if you've been on this planet for a few years and you are of a responsible mind, if you sit down and honestly think of everything in your life that you've been confronted with and that you have yielded to rather than resisted. If you think about that, every time that happened, there was a way of escape. If you think about it, there was a way out. Why didn't you take it? Why didn't you take it? Because you didn't choose to take it. Don't try to blame it on God, folks. He's done everything he can, short of making you do something against your will. There's no excuses. There is no excuses for sin. As we reflect upon the examples that we've looked at together this afternoon, we come to the realization that it is not our surroundings and not our environment that controls us or causes us to sin or causes us to serve the Lord faithfully, either one. People have the best of circumstances. Sometimes they turn away from God. Sometimes we have the worst of circumstances. They faithfully serve God. But we as Christians should never allow ourselves to excuse our sins or the sins of others with the excuse of poor circumstances. God will not accept this excuse, and neither should we. We are all faced with the temptations, as Paul expressed it in 1 Corinthians 10, that are common to man. You see that phrase right there? Common to man. And consequently, there's no difference between what he's faced with and what you're faced with, except for this, and that is the attitude of mind and heart with which you face it. If you face it with an attitude of determination and steadfastness, you'll see that way of escape and you'll take it right away. You won't let it go any further. While as someone else might say, well, you know, this is just too tempting for me. I'm going to have to give in to this one. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. The devil would like you to, obviously. But there's always a way out. Now, under the worst of conditions, we can keep ourselves from sinning and remain faithful if we have the right attitude of mind. Which is what? The right attitude of mind is in obedience, faithfulness, steadfastness, and trustfulness. Simple as that. Well, you say simple. It's simple when you put it on paper. It may not be so simple to implement sometimes, but there it is, plain black and white. Just as plain as I know how to make it. I hope this has been a lesson that's been beneficial to each and every one of you. I realize that in this assembly, everyone here is a child of God, and we all have had exposure to what God teaches, but we're always faced with problems and circumstances in our lives that can sometimes be adverse and sometimes give an opening for Satan to try and tempt us. We dare never, though, want to let our guard down. Not for one second. Need to keep these thoughts in our hearts.